Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of November 2015, USDA Report Day. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, along with the November crop production numbers, were released at 11 a.m. this morning. We'll go through those numbers and discuss them with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Steve Platt will be here from Archer Financial Services from Chicago, Illinois, to take up the agricultural energies, and we'll take up the dollar with him as well, and its strength and what the Fed might do in the coming month or so, as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures finished the day lower after the USDA dropped some different numbers on the trade. We'll discuss those in a moment. December corn down 7 3/4 at $3.59. The March at 3.68, 8 cents lower. The May down 8 at 3.74 1/2. And July at 3.80, down 7 1/2 cents. December corn of next year, $3.90 1/2, down 4 1/2 cents. Soy complex November beans, 9 lower at $8.64 1/2. January 8.55 1/2, down 10 3/4. March down 11 3/4 at 8.55 1/2, and the May down 11 3/4 at 8.60 1/2. July soybeans down 11 1/4, $8.66. Next year's November at 8.66 1/4, down 7 3/4. Bean meal futures $2.80 lower at $2.92.20. In the December contract, December bean oil 50 cents lower at $27.27. December soft red winter wheat 11 cents lower for the day, $4.90 3/4 of a cent. July at 5.01 1/2, down 9 1/4. In July of next year, for the hard red, down 13 3/4 today at $4.97. Feeder cattle finished the November contract at $173.15, down $3.97 1/2. The January futures, these are actually still trading, at $164.12 1/2, down $3.40. Live cattle futures in the December down $2.52 1/2 at $129.40. February at $131.37 1/2, down $2.77 1/2 cents. Lean hogs in the December contract up 17 1/2 at $53.90. February at $55.40, that's down $1.07 1/2 cents. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the energy sector, crude oil is trading 34 cents a barrel higher at $44.21. Ethanol at $1.49 is down a penny and 0.9% per gallon. Gasoline on the RBOB wholesale price at $1.36 6/10. That's 0.3% lower. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.49 even, a penny and 0.2 higher. And natural gas for the day at $2.32. That's up 0.2 for the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,704 is 29 higher. And the gold futures on the day are currently trading at 10,088. And that's about 65 cents higher. U.S. dollar index at 99.39 is up 0.314. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 60 degrees. Tonight, clear, a low of 41. Tomorrow, for Veterans Day, a 40% chance of showers, some thunderstorms after 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a low of 64. It'll be breezy tomorrow with a south-southwest wind at 9 to 14, increasing to 19 to 24 in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 34. And then tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms between 7 and 1 a.m. Low around 44 with a south-southeast wind at 25 to 29. That'll turn to the west-southwest after midnight. Winds gusting to 40 miles an hour. And it will rain in the area tomorrow. We'll take up this forecast a bit later in the program when we talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming on Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media this Tuesday afternoon. It is the 10th day of November. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Please do visit our website, willag.org. You can buy your Farm Assets Conference ticket there or at 800-898-1065. Also on the website today, you'll have all the numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture's earlier in the day release of the crop production and WASD figures. They're there in simple to use sorts of tables. Speaking of which, let's recap those numbers at this point. For the crop production, corn forecast at 13.7 billion bushels. That was up less than a percentage point from the October forecast, down 4 points from last year's record crop, but still based on conditions as of November the 1st. Yields are expected to average nationwide 169.3 bushels to the acre. That's 1.3 bushels better than it was in October, but 1.7 bushels below last year. If realized, this would be the second highest yield and third largest production for corn on record in the United States. Total U.S. corn use for the 15-16 fiscal year is projected at 100 million bushels lower, with exports lowered some 50 million bushels. U.S. corn export sales and shipments, USDA says, lag well behind last year at this time, and supplies remain uncompetitive in many foreign markets as corn from Brazil continues to undercut U.S. offerings. U.S. corn ending stocks for the 15-16 season projected 199 million bushels higher at 1.76 billion bushels. The season's average cash price for corn received by producers projected 15 cents lower on both ends this month to $3.35 on the low end and $3.95 per bushel on the top end. Soybean production in the United States forecast at the record 3.981 million bushels, up 93.6 million. That on higher yields, the soybean yield forecast at 48.3 bushels to the acre, up 1.1 bushels, mainly on gains from Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota. Soybean supplies projected 2% higher from the October forecast. Soybean crush raised to 10 million bushels to 1.89 million on higher meal exports. Soybean exports also raised with additional supplies. Ending stocks are raised some 40 million bushels still to 465 million. If realized, ending stocks would be the highest since 2006-2007. The U.S. season's average soybean price ranges from $8.15 to $9.65 a bushel. That's down 25 cents on both ends of the range. Now let's find out what Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, thought about the numbers as they were released from the United States Department of Agriculture, and more importantly, the impact that it had in Chicago. Wayne, thanks for being with us today. What was your first impression this morning, and then how did the trade take the change in both the corn and the soybean figures?
Well, you know, first off this morning, we continued to erode all morning into the report, which sort of give us the feeling that they were a little bit bearish, these numbers were coming out. Then we saw the numbers, and wow, they first glance, they looked pretty negative, bigger than most of the original or the high end of the guesses as we looked at them. Then we looked at the screen, and we really didn't react as violently as we usually do to these. I think that's partially because we come from, you know, we'd sold off for the last 10 days, basically, moved on down. And when you really looked at a lot of things, it wasn't as much different as a lot of people were expecting beforehand, just a little extra. And I think the Chinese number, that's sort of a ghost number. We've known that they've had big corn stocks. We know that a lot of them are out of condition, and they aren't really available for world export to get into the world market. So that's sort of a number that I think is the reason we were able to come back in the corn later in the day.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that number and where it was buried in the USDA reports and what it really means.
Well, I think, you know, as we looked at it, and the world stocks, why they raised the Chinese stocks. They revised the 14-15 Chinese stocks, 19 million metric tons, lowered the new crop feed use, and raised the 15-16 stocks, 24 million metric tons to 114 million metric tons. That triggered an increase in the global stocks of about 25 million metric tons. So that looked like that would be a big deal. But basically, China doesn't export any corn, so that just being there, and they aren't importing a lot of corn either, but we know they had large stocks. So that's sort of a ghost number really out there that's there. So that's one of the things that didn't make the corn number quite as negative as it looked at first glance.
Yeah, so the corn number and the ending stocks are really what matters at this point. 199 million bushels bigger than it had been, so it goes from 1.561 to 1.76 billion bushels. That's not far off, actually, what last year. I think the carry-in, we ended up with 1.731 at the end of the year last year. However, the number for the cash price dropped again. $3.65 is now the midpoint. That's going to seem, I think, to most producers like a really low number.
That's because it is a really low number when you look at the cost of putting that crop out, Ted. Todd. So, I mean, you know, that's just the way that it is, unfortunately. We do have the second largest corn crop ever. If the government's all these numbers hold true, the west of the Mississippi really, really came through and the bushels are there. You know, but as we looked at the end of the day, down less than 10 with that kind of number, that's somewhat of a very good. I mean, we expected 10 lower when we looked at the numbers. So a lot of guys are still thinking if we can get some weather problems somewhere down south or around. But at these levels, guys out west are not going to sell corn. They're going to hang on to it for a while here. But this did, we think that what we heard from the commercials was that the commercials were buying some of the liquidation from some of the funds today, and they figured they'll hang on to it. And so, I mean, as they go along the way, if they have to, if the port has to go up to get some corn to move, well, they'll be riding their futures up and be able to buy the corn when it gets close to $4 cash.
Yeah, so for those producers who are thinking about their USDA farm programs at this point, and you'll have to forgive me, I didn't look this up before we came on the air, and I'm going off memory, but I think this is right. I think 370 was the point and below on cash price, which Arc County might begin to pay, if I remember correctly, and that it would have to be below 330 for PLC to actually pay. So if you're thinking about those numbers and what these cash prices mean for your choices for farm program, I'll go back through them and try to get to them. Not tomorrow, by the way, because I'll be traveling out to NAFB for in Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention through the day on Wednesday. But I'll try to make sure that I pick them up and get them back to you on Thursday. Maybe I can talk to Gary Schnicki real quickly about that as well at some point. Okay, now, we've done a little bit about corn. What about soybeans? How did those numbers change?
Well, you know, they raised the yield to 1.1 bushels that way. That's a new record, which is crazy like that. But they also did raise the consumption among things going on. The crush was lifted about 10 million bushels. Exports raised 40 million bushels. You know, but that's still an awful big number with the beans. But it does show that we are looking forward to using more, and that the little lower prices may be that more beans will be used. The, you know, the bad thing that goes along with this today was the cattle and hog market had real rough days. And that doesn't make it quite so easy to use quite so much for feed consumption for any expansion over there.
Yeah, so why is it that they had a rough day? Usually when the grains and oil seeds are sharply lower, they don't have nearly as bad a day.
No, they've been picking on the packers have been sort of in the red or close to it for a while, and they really backed off in the last week and a half here. We saw, you know, some drastic moves down. We did come back off the bottoms just like we did in the soybeans. So, you know, maybe we're hitting the bottom in the cattle market too right now.
All right. Very quickly, I went back and searched while you were talking there to see what those numbers were. And in fact, I was right, at least about the number for where the break even on PLC was. It pays below 330 on corn and 780 on soybeans. So a ways to go to the downside if you were on the PLC. But almost everybody took our county. And I think 370, frankly, was the number in which it begins to pay. Anything else that we need to talk about before I let you go for the day?
I think that, you know, it's going to be, we want to sit and watch and see if there's follow through tomorrow. But if not, maybe we can see some stabilization here, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. Joined us here on Illinois Public Media for the closing market report on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, I'll be traveling tomorrow to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, already recorded both closing market report and the mid-morning market report. Jackie has a lot of really good things to say, so you'll be wanting to listen to that. I won't post it up to the website because it would interfere what's already there. So we'll get it up during the day tomorrow, maybe later in the afternoon if you happen to miss those programs. But you can always tune into our radio stations to pick up both of those. The other thing is that the Farm Assets Conference, have you bought those tickets yet? Hope so. If not, 800-898-1065 or farmassetsconference.com. Really good stuff. I urge you, the $30 is worth spending, and we need you to kind of register now. You can walk in on the day of, but that makes it much more difficult for the hotel to manage feeding you, and of course we've got parking as well. So get yourself registered at the end of the month, November the 24th, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, for the Farm Assets Conference. Just $30. WillAg.org, farmassetsconference.com, 800-898-1065. In today's agricultural news, let's start with commodity trade. Japanese corn buyers are set to increase their purchases of corn from Brazil and Ukraine. That's because the price there is about $10 per metric ton cheaper than it is in the United States. There are expectations that in the next quarter, Japanese demand for corn may drop by 20%, and in fact, it's expected to increase by that same 20% for Brazil, Ukraine, and other non-U.S. exporters. The swing to Brazilian grains began after Chicago futures rallied to a one-year high in July. That amid concerns about wet weather and accelerated as the Brazilian real tumbled to a record low against the U.S. dollar back in September. Overall, corn demand is shrinking in Japan as high feed costs are forcing inefficient farmers to quit production there, leading to a drop in the nation's cattle herd. That according to Bloomberg. A group of House lawmakers have asked the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce the volume of ethanol in the nation's fuel supply. Midwest, Southern, and East Coast lawmakers have signed an anti-renewable fuels letter to head off the Environmental Protection Agency, angering farm groups like the National Corn Growers Association. What has corn growers most upset is some of the lawmakers come from corn-producing states, including Illinois' Robert Dold, Missouri's Billy Long, and Wisconsin's Glenn Grothman, along with James Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin. NCGA spokesperson Beth Elliott says the letter was a surprise, since so many of them were thought to be friendly to ethanol.
Well, I still think that a lot of these people are considering ethanol to be a very highly contentious political issue. And so right now you're dealing with a president that's going into his final legacy. You know, he's getting ready to go to Paris to, you know, have climate change, greenhouse gas talks. And a lot of these members that signed, I think 79 of them, actually deny that climate change is actually happening.
33 of the 79 legislators hail from big oil-producing states like Texas and Colorado. The rest are from Illinois, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Missouri, North Carolina, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Elliott says the one thing that's not a surprise is the timing of the letter.
The EPA is slated to make their RVO decision by November 30th. They are under a consensual decree in order to do so by the 30th, and all signs are pointing that they'll meet that deadline. So, I mean, the timing of this letter was, you know, obviously critical to them finalizing that RVO decision.
EPA first proposed renewable volume obligations that pair some 4 billion gallons from the RFS over 3 years and 1.6 billion this year alone. The agency is expected to settle on a middle ground compromise. Corn growers and pro-RFS lawmakers argue that cutting the volumes violates the RFS statute. And finally today, climate change could disrupt agriculture and push more into poverty. The World Bank over the weekend claimed that climate change could push more than 100 million people into extreme poverty by 2030, that by disrupting agriculture and fueling the spread of disease. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Steve Platt joins us from Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois, to thank the agricultural energies up. Steve, thank you so much for being with us. I know you've been watching crude oil, the price of dollar, and many other things along with USDA reports today. What's most important in your mind for the trade at this time?
Well, at least on the energy side, I still hold to the fact that we've been trading in a range, and we've talked about this pretty much like a broken record for the past 2 months. Crude hasn't moved much out of that $43, $49 range. Heating oil's pretty much 2 cents basically below where it was last month at this time. And gasoline's 3 cents. So there hasn't been a lot of movement in energies, but we are approaching a pretty key time period for the markets when OPEC does meet on December 4th. And there's a lot of talk right now about OPEC's oil output strategy potentially backfiring. That was in the Wall Street Journal even today. And the decision against controlling oil output could add to the sustained period of low prices. Now, this brings up the issue on whether OPEC and particularly Saudi Arabia might back off of their policy of increasing output levels to dent the level of production here in the U.S. of the tight oil shale. And I think there's a general appearance, at least from my perspective, that Saudi Arabia may well support a kind of $40 floor for the oil price. And if that actually happens, it tends to maybe hold the market to a level that I think we can maybe live with, at least until we start to see the demand side come on, which I think will, in fact, happen in 2016. So 2016 is shaping up as a year of transition, and markets do take their time, particularly markets that have a lot investment in them and have been in certain ranges for long periods of time. Crude oil is half of where it was last year. It takes time for us to back off from those levels.
So what kind of range would you think if they decide $40 is the bottom end? Are we talking about a $40 to $60 range or something different than that?
You're still looking at a surplus here this year on the order of 1.3 million barrels. We've been adding to stocks throughout the year. The inventory levels have basically, or the growth in inventory levels, is basically twice what it normally is over the five-year average. So there's going to have to be a time period where this market basically consolidates. And I think that's what we're doing in terms of these tight trading ranges. I think we can get through 43, but down to 40, I don't think we'll do much worse than that. And there's probably going to be some potentials, at least from the long side, and maybe taking on some protective hedges in terms of both the diesel and gasoline, in which you might be able to benefit as a producer.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today, Steve.
My pleasure.
Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Back in just a couple of minutes here on Illinois Public Media to take a look at the weather forecast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Vanilla Cupcake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1683, Robert Morrison died, a Scottish botanist. His work helped lead to the modern system of plant classification. In 1793, Jared Kitland was born, physician, naturalist, botanist, and teacher. He is credited with developing 26 varieties of cherries and 6 varieties of pears. In 1871, journalist Henry Morton Stanley found missing explorer Dr. David Livingston. Dr. Livingston, I presume. Livingston was in Africa in the hopes of ending the slave trade to the eastern coast of the U.S. and to discover the source of the Nile River. In 1951, as of this day in history, you could call from North Carolina and buy tractor parts at a dealer in California without operator assistance. Coast-to-coast direct dialing began. The very first call went from Englewood, New Jersey to Alameda, California. They were able to talk just 18 seconds after the dialing. Previously, coast-to-coast calls were replaced by long-distance operators. And in 1983, computer viruses became a reality. Fred Cohen created the first documented computer virus while studying for a PhD at the University of Southern California. Cohen hid his virus inside a graphics program called VD, written for a VAX minicomputer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this 10th day of November 2015. Don Day joins us from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's start with the weather forecast for right here in the Midwest, and maybe you can follow the storm path that we should see sometime tomorrow, I think. Fall is one of those times of year where sometimes we do get severe weather.
Well, it is something to watch. We have a very intense low-pressure system that's going to be forming near Goodland, Kansas by tomorrow morning. And out ahead of the system is going to be a fairly warm air mass, a moist air mass, but behind the system, a lot of cold air. So we do have a setup for where we could have some severe weather tomorrow on the front side of the storm, on the warm sector. Could see some severe weather across portions of eastern Nebraska, portions of Iowa, portions of Missouri as that system moves in, while on the backside of the system, they have blizzard warnings in effect for blowing snow, sharply colder temperatures and winds to 60 miles an hour for portions of northeast Colorado and northwest Kansas with this system. So it is going to cause a lot of weather, so we do need to watch out for severe weather, then cold temperatures on the backside.
No, I'm glad I'm headed to Kansas City tomorrow, and we'll be there through Saturday. Then it sounds like I should. Maybe it might snow and blow and all kinds of rain and thunder along the way. Hopefully we'll have a nice, safe trip. Hey, tell me about South America and what you see there. Some warmer climes and maybe some better conditions.
Well, when we take a look at South America, we have seen over the last couple of weeks a weather pattern that has been more wet and has brought some beneficial rains, especially to some of the key growing areas of Brazil. And what we're seeing in this next week to 10 days is a pretty decent pattern. They're going to continue to have some opportunities for precipitation. No one looks too dry. No one looks too wet in temperatures. Are going to be a little bit warmer than normal in both Argentina and Brazil. So really optimal conditions for those folks.
And thanks, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may listen to it again on our website at willag.org. Tomorrow, I'll be traveling to Kansas City, Missouri during the day for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Join you on Thursday and Friday from there, including Commodity Week recorded live on the NAFB floor. That with Arlen Suderman, with F.C. Stone, and Matt Bennett and Mike Zuzulo. They'll all be in Kansas City with me. Should be a great Commodity Week program. Tomorrow, the programs during the day will be pre-recorded. Actually, I've already done them, so you'll be able to listen to those. I'll be again, traveling towards Kansas City during the day tomorrow. One other item, if you haven't yet, and I'm really hoping that you'll do this right now, because if you're planning to go to the Farm Assets Conference, you need to pick up a ticket today, tomorrow, sometime in the next few days. It's just $30. You can call 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Really need to know how many of you are going to be there. Buy the tickets earlier rather than later. It'll make things easier for me, less stressful, I suppose, more than anything else. Also make it easier for the folks at the hotel, because we're going to feed you and we have parking for you, but we kind of need to know how many of you are going to be there. So don't wait. Do it right now. 800-898-1065. FarmAssetsConference.com.